Did you ever hear a more beautiful statement than this? Are you listening? And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Did you hear that? Think of it. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Boy, that thing just turns me on to think about it. Think again, get it. The author was saying, this is a good day. And he's saying tomorrow is going to be another one, just like it, except it'll be much more abundant. That's the text today. You know, one of the things that God has given to me that I make no pretense at being a brilliant man. My IQ is about 45. And I make no pretense at being a scholar. But you know, to me, when I read the Bible, statements like this are in neon. Brother Colston often said this morning, he said it so often. I said, Brother John, the text in Isaiah 55:6, tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. And Brother Colston said, good night. That wasn't there when I read that 56th chapter of Isaiah the last time. And he said the same thing. So often he says it. I'll come up with a certain text and he'll say, man, that wasn't there when I read it. I think he has a revised standard version of the Bible, is what I think. But anyway, to me, one of the things that makes the Bible live to me is as I read it, maybe it's the preacher in me, maybe it's because I preach too many sermons. But statements like this, when I get to them, they just wave at me and say, hey, give me a special look. It seems like they're in red letters or in bold print, or it seems like that there's a certain light shining on them. And boy, when I read a verse like this, it just excites me tremendously. And today, tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Now, stop and think for a minute, folks. Isn't this a beautiful day today? I mean, wasn't it good to get up this morning? Let me change that. Wouldn't it be good when you woke up and found out that you didn't wake up dead this morning? Wasn't it when you got up this morning and the first thing I thought about this morning when I woke up, first thing was the people in Cambodia. First thing. I can't get them off my mind. I hurt daily for those poor people for whom Jesus died as much as he did for us. The dirty communist, as I've said so often, that's the only kind of communist that there is dirty communist. Taking a country and literally making that country extinct. And right this minute, there are tens of thousands of Cambodians who are starving. Now, little boys and girls, just as loved by their moms and dads as your children are loved by you, lying on the streets with their stomachs swelling, dying because of starvation. Ah, but good night. I woke up this morning, got out of bed, looked out, realized that it's going to be 80 degrees today. 80. You can add up the degrees of every day in January and it won't add up to a total of 80. 80 degrees. And the leaves were never so pretty. And the weeping willow tree had a melancholy look that made me feel so fortunate. And Mrs. McCarroll brought me the prettiest bouquet of flowers this morning you ever saw in your life. Snapdragons and roses and chrysanthemums. And on my desk, I have several dozen of evidences of God's handiwork. I mean, I live in America. I'm a born-again believer. Christ lives in my heart. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Don't say amen and talk to me dying today. I'd go to heaven. I have the Holy Spirit as my guide. I have a copy of the only book that God Almighty ever wrote in my hand right now. I mean, boy, what a day. Good night. You have a hard time finding anything wrong today. If you can't get happy right now, as Bob Gray said, don't just sit there, feel something. I mean, today, what a day. And think of it. Tomorrow shall be as today and much more abundant. I wouldn't give you a dime for Joe Namath. But there's one thing he said I like. He said, I just can't wait till tomorrow because I'm getting more handsome every day. Now, I cannot relate to that, and neither can you. But boy, I like that first half. I just cannot wait till tomorrow. I wish I could say that last half. But I mean, there's something about that that I like. I met a week ago, last Thursday, about 11 o'clock. I met with some of the youngest people I've ever seen in my life. You're still out there, aren't you? Answer me. I met some of the youngest people I've ever seen in my life. Some of the youngest folks in this church, I met with them at 11 o'clock a week ago last Thursday. Oh, most of them had gray hair. Most of them had lived over 60. Except Gladys Canavan. She's in the over 60s club. She's not 60. But nothing ever starts around here if Gladys doesn't join. She belongs to the junior choir and everything else. But since her husband's 85, she's qualified to go to the... But anyway, most of them over 60. Most of them had several wrinkles. All of them had some. Most of them have grandchildren, and some had great-grandchildren, and a few had great-great-grandchildren. And all of them walked at a slower pace than many of the rest of us. I started to say you. But they were young. Young. I mean, I'm not bragging on them. I'm saying they were young. Over 60, but young. 3 days later, a 17-year-old old man came to my office. Yeah, an old man. No wrinkles. No haltering step. No graying temples. White hair. No grandchildren. No great-grand... But he was old. 17 and old. So what's the difference? The difference was, I asked that young man what he was going to do in his life. And he said, I don't know. What are your plans? Had no plan. When you get out of high school, what are you going to do? I don't know. You see, what's the difference? What made those 60 years old people young and the 17-year-old fellow old? I didn't. One word. Tomorrow. One word. Tomorrow. those kids in there with white hair, they couldn't wait. Club, best years of our lives club. Man, we got some plans. Boy, they can't. I was talking to a fine couple last night, and they said their parents go, and they said they can't wait till next Thursday. Why? Tomorrow. Something exciting tomorrow. There's a bright tomorrow. There are plans made for tomorrow. And as long, bless God, as you've got a bright tomorrow, you ain't old yet. Old people are people that have no plans for tomorrow. Now, I love yesterday. Now, follow me every word I say this morning because there's going to be a few plays on words that you need to hear. I love yesterday. I love the great churches I've pastored. I love to relive, as you know, those experiences. Sometimes we sit here on Sunday night till 10 o'clock reliving my old experiences. And I love yesterday. And that's one of the things about people used to say, when you get old, why is it that you tell all those old stories? Because you're excited about them. That's why. I mean, yesterday is, by the way, People that don't live for God don't tell those old stories. People that don't have, listen, people that don't have rich today don't have rich yesterdays on tomorrow. Did you hear me? If you do not have a rich today, you will not have a rich yesterday on tomorrow. I love yesterday. But you can love yesterday. Follow me now. You can love yesterday on tomorrow only if you live for God today. I said again. You can only love yesterday on tomorrow if you live for God today. For today is the only material from which yesterday's can be made. I said again. Today is the only material with which yesterday's can be made. And that's one reason why I say so often, I'm going to take today and squeeze everything I can out of it. So when today is yesterday, tomorrow, I'll have some wonderful memories. I've got a closet in my office stacked that high with paper clippings. Every time my picture's in the paper and I see it, I put it in that closet. Every time I go somewhere to speak and there's a big advertisement, I clip it out and put it in that closet. Somebody said, and by the way, when I get old, that's when I don't have any tomorrows, in the millennium, I'm going to take those paper clippings and make me a scrapbook out of them. Somebody said, don't you have a scrapbook? No, sir, I don't have a scrapbook. They said, why? I'm too busy making scrap, brother. I'm not going to make a scrapbook yet. I got some more scrap I want to make. And so I take all that stuff, and I toss it inside that closet. I have thousands of pictures of me in that closet. I don't like to look at them because I got them to go way back yonder a long time ago when I had even more hair than I have now. And, but I mean, look, you know why I enjoy yesterday? I enjoy yesterday because when yesterday was today, I served God. When yesterday was today, I won souls. When yesterday was today, I had a fulfilling, rich life. And because when yesterday was today, I tried to serve God. I love yesterday. Nobody loves yesterday who doesn't serve God today. Nobody enjoys yesterday who lives in sin today. Nobody enjoys yesterday who lives outside God's will today. For if you revel in sin today, when today becomes yesterday on tomorrow, your memories are bitter. That's what the wise man meant in Ecclesiastes 12:1, where he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When you live for God today, then you have pleasure in today, tomorrow, when today becomes yesterday. I'm saying those of you that remember the past with delight and with refreshment and with joy today are those who live for God yesterday. But if you today squander your life today and live in riotous living today and waste your life today, and out yonder tomorrow. And hey, have you ever noticed that old people, when they get old, people who've been here longer, you know what? They either get real sweet or real crabby. There are not many middle of the road older people. You know why? Because people that don't live for God when they're young have sour memories about yesterday and become bitter about life. I was in a taxi cab the other day with a fellow about seven out in Des Moines, Iowa, a fellow 70 years old or so. And I said, boy, it's a good day. I said, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? He said, no, sir. I said, well, man, listen, if folks don't get saved, they go to hell. And that man in his 70s said, mister, I'm living in hell now. And I said to him, if you're living in hell right now, I can tell you something. You haven't lived for God during your life. You've drunk liquor. And you've lived profane. You've been immoral. I said, if you had lived your life for God, you wouldn't say you're living in hell now. Ah, oh, the sweet memories that flood the souls and minds of those who serve God in their youth. Young people, listen to me. If you waste your youth, it will mar your old age. Memories, conscience,
regret, remorse, sadness. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, those wasted years. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there is only one good way to have a good yesterday. And that is by having a good today. I love yesterday. I got to hurry. I also love today. I love today because it is the tomorrow at which I look yesterday. Yesterday I couldn't wait till tomorrow. I couldn't wait till when I was a kid. I used to wear short breeches. When I was a kid, no boy wore long trousers till he got 10 years old. And that means, did you wear short? No, you were. You're older than I. But don't sass me back or you won't have a tomorrow. But anyway, I used to wear my short breeches and Mama would spank me on my legs, and that's where hot pants originated. She spanked me on my leg with a limb off a tree. Oh, if we'd only had a welfare department or HEW back in those days, my mama would still be serving a life sentence. And I said, boy, I'll be glad and I can wear long breeches. And I'll never forget the first pair of long breeches I wore. Pretty white man alive. First time I didn't show my knees in public in my life. And I thought I was grown. Boy, I couldn't wait. And then when I got to be about 10 years old, I said, man, if I can ever be one of those big grown kids in junior high school. And I'll never forget the day I went to junior high school the first time, but I found I was the youngest kid in the junior high school. And I thought, boy, I'll be glad and I'll become the oldest kid in the junior high school. And I'll never forget the day when I became the oldest kid in junior high school, and I said, boy, I can't wait till I get in high school. And I got in high school in the freshman class, and I saw those big seniors. I said, boy, I'll be glad not get me with the seniors. When I got to be a senior in high school, and I said, man, I'll be glad not go to college. And I got in college, I said, boy, I'll be glad not can pastor a church. Oh, not me. Brother, today, yesterday, I dreamed today. And I sat in the classroom of East Texas Baptist College, of Marshall, Texas, hoping that someday I could pastor a church with 100 people. And I thought, boy, if I can ever have a church with 100 people hearing me preach, it'll be. And some of you folks sitting right there right now, as crabby as you can be. You know why? Because you got a guilty past. You can't even look at a preacher while he preaches. Because you look at a preacher, and your unrighteousness comes before you, and your wicked life comes before you. You can't stand the man of God, the Word of God. Why? Because of your sin. That's why. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You better live for God today if you want to have a good tomorrow. Then today is the yesterday I'll relive tomorrow. Joshua 3:5 says, sanctify yourselves today, and tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Did you hear me? Sanctify yourselves today. Set yourself apart today for God's service. Give your life to God today, tomorrow. Now listen to me. Listen to that. God's going to do wonderful things for me tomorrow. Joe Namath, I'm like you. I can't wait till tomorrow. But I'm not getting better looking every day. Neither is he. But there's a reason why I can't wait till tomorrow. Why? Because God's going to do great wonderful things for me tomorrow. How do you know? Because I'm sanctified today. I didn't say I was perfect. The word sanctified means set apart. I'm set apart for God today. I'm in God's will today. And I've got a promise right here in Joshua 3:5. Tomorrow, the Lord's going to do great things for me. Listen carefully. Listen to the statement carefully. If I waste today, I will waste tomorrow doing the things I didn't do today. Did you hear me? If I waste today and do not do the things today that God wants me to do, then I'll have to do the things on tomorrow. I'll have to do today's things. So I wasted tomorrow. Young people, listen to me. It seems a light thing you to sit in class and goof off today, but you'll pay for it tomorrow. It seems a light thing. You turn your book report in. I read 300 pages, and you lied, and you know you lied. Seems a light thing. Listen, I do not care who you are. If you do not plan today, you will not succeed tomorrow. I'll tell you who's going to win the National Football Championship this year. It's the team that got ready. I'll tell you who's going to build the biggest church of any graduate of Hiles Anderson College. Not the winsome guy, not the handsome guy. It's that guy that for 4 years, while he was here, 4 or 5 years, he studied what he was supposed to study and did what he was supposed to do, and today laid the foundation so tomorrow he won't have to learn what he should have learned today and waste tomorrow learning what he should have learned yesterday. But in spite of the fact that I love yesterday, and I love today, I love tomorrow. Listen, tomorrow I'm going to start again. Tomorrow I'm going to have another today and yet more abundant. Tomorrow I will have another today with what I've learned today to help me live tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll have a new chance to make a better yesterday or day after tomorrow. You know what I do? I've said this before. Every day to me is a lifetime. I wake up in the morning and I'm born. We used to sing a song. You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. I can see the judge's eyes as he handed you the prize. I bet you drove the little boys wild. You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. And he goes on to say, because baby, look at you now. Now look, I get up in the morning. You won't believe this, but I go to the mirror and I say, hello, little fella. You beautiful baby, you. Yeah, sure. Every day is a new life, a new beginning, a new chance. And when I wake up in the morning, I always feel like I've been born. I go to bed at night, I die. Die. And when I'm born the next morning all over again, you never saw so much labor pain in your life to get up and get born. But I get up. Oh, listen. I feel sorry for you old crabs here this morning. I see two or three of you. God bless you. You can't wait till 12:30, can you? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because not only are you miserable, but you don't like anybody's happy. That's your trouble. I mean, listen. I'm alive. I'm an American. I'm a Christian. I have good health. I have a nice place to live. I have good clothes to wear. I have Jesus in my heart. And I have tomorrow as God's marvelous promise. Oh, listen, I love tomorrow. Now, I know James 4:13 and 14 says we're not supposed to say, I'll do thus and so tomorrow. But that's only teaching us that we should work today as if today is all we had. I know Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. I know that, but that simply means we shouldn't brag on the fact we'll have tomorrow. We shouldn't take it for granted. We should thank God and serve God today. I know. Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought of the morrow. I know that, but that means we're not supposed to worry about our provision tomorrow. God's going to take care of us tomorrow. But if there's anything in the world the Bible teaches we're supposed to look forward to tomorrow. And let me tell you something, you dear people, 80 and 90 years of age, you don't have to be old. As long as you've got a tomorrow. Forgive me for using this illustration, but every 6 months, I send my mother and my sister on all expenses paid vacation trip to Texas. I've told you the story. I will not be able to tell you the whole thing again. But I started this thing 7 or 8 years ago. 9 years ago, maybe. I buy airplane tickets for both of them. Motel room and a Holiday Inn for both of them. And give them $200 for their food and expenses and send them twice a year. You know one reason I do that for my mother? I want mother to stay young. As long as my mother has a tomorrow to look forward to, she'll not grow old. She'll not. And as long as I can give her something when she gets back off that vacation in the summertime, as long as I can cause her to remember that in Christmas she goes again. I can't wait till the next trip, the next vacation trip to Dallas again. As long as I can keep her saying, there's something tomorrow, there's something tomorrow, there's something tomorrow, she won't grow old. But you people that have sat down in your life, and some of you do it at 30, and some do it at 20, and some do it at 40, and many of you do it at 60 and 70, you sit down, and there's no tomorrow. I recall one Christmas, my mother had given up given up. She got in a little wheelchair and she said, "Son, it's all over for me. I don't have anything to live for now. I'm just ready to go on to heaven now. There's nothing left." And I said, "Mama, there's something left. I need you, and you know I need you, and Earlene needs you. And there's something left." Christmas morning, she came to the house. I gave her a Christmas present. She's in a wheelchair, all given up. You know, like you can get, you people live a long time, can look so old if you're old. And given up. I gave her a Christmas present. She unwrapped it. It was a gift certificate for a round trip ticket to Texas on an airplane. And another gift certificate for 7 or 8 days and a Holiday Inn in Texas. And Mama said, "What can I do with this?" She said, "I can't go to Texas. I'm too sick." I said, "They have sick folks in Texas too. Now go on." I said, tomorrow at noon, you're leaving to go to Dallas, Texas." Mother said, "Son, I can't. I said, "Mama, you told me not to ever say I can't." Well, she said, "Son, I think I'd just die down there." I said, "Good night. We got you a cemetery lot already bought down there and paid for right now." And I said, "It'd be a lot better for you to fly down there and enjoy the plane trip than be in a box in the ship down there someday." I said, "If you're going to die, go on down there and die and save us the trouble of shipping your body down there." I said, "Tomorrow." I said, "Tomorrow. Hey, did you hear me? I said, tomorrow. Hey, did you hear me? I said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. There it is. Tomorrow." And you get a hold of that word, tomorrow. And all of a sudden, life will come again. And youth will come again. And joy will come again. And you won't grow old as long as you've got a tomorrow to which you can look. I said, "Tomorrow. You're boarding at noontime a jet plane for Dallas, Texas. Cost me, good night. It probably cost me $700. Good night. There'll be some better way to have a good tomorrow." Tomorrow, she was on that plane. She didn't have one sick day in Texas. She is leaving this Christmas for her 15th trip. Did you ever multiply $700 times 15? And I haven't talked her into dying while she's down there yet. And I tell you right now, she's looking forward to it. I'll be flying to Texas tomorrow, and she said, "I think I'll go with you." Tomorrow. As long as you have a tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day of hope. Tomorrow is the day of remedy. Tomorrow is the day of a new beginning. Tomorrow, listen, tomorrow is another chance to live a today without the mistakes of today. Tomorrow. I love Esther 5:8. "I will do tomorrow as the king said." That'll make you happy. I love Luke 13:33. I love this. "I will walk today and tomorrow and the day following." I love Isaiah 56:12. I love it. "Tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant." I love Numbers 16:15. "Tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy." I love Joshua 3:5. "Sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do great works or wonders for thee." I mean this. I'm not kidding. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth. I'm not preaching. I've never been so excited in my life about tomorrow. Tomorrow has never been so bright as it is today. You would not believe. You would not believe what you're going to do tomorrow. And what you're going to finance tomorrow. I mean, enjoy tomorrow. I mean it. Listen. If you leave this area and have to leave this church, you are going to miss the greatest days, the most exciting ventures, the most unusual ministries that you've ever seen. The First Baptist Church of Ammon. Brother, a college, a high school, that's just the beginning. You say, "What are you talking about?" I'll tell you. Because, brother, I can't wait till tomorrow. And I'm not getting better looking every day. But I can't wait till tomorrow. I've never been so young. I never have. Really, I mean it. Never have been so young. You say, why? I never have had as bright a tomorrow as I have today.
I can see old Dr. Ford Porter. That sweet, sweet, marvelous Christian who's in heaven now. I preached his funeral sermon. I can see him on his 80th birthday. Feeble. He said, Dr. Hiles, let me take you somewhere. He got behind the wheel in that car and drove me out a freeway in Indianapolis. Now, you listen, if you ever want to live by faith, you just let Dr. Ford Porter drive you at 80 years of age down a freeway. If you're not a good Christian when you start, you won't be a good Christian when you get through. He took me out there, got me out of the car, and hobbled across to a big old piece of ground. And his eyes began to sparkle. His shoulders threw back like this, and his chest went out. He must have looked as Moses looked when he stood on Mount Nebo and saw the Promised Land. He said, "Looky there, Dr. Hiles." He said, "This is the best, some of the best land in all Indianapolis." He said, "Over there will be the new high school, near that clump of trees. Over there on that hill will be the college." 80 years of age. 80. 80! He stood there for an hour and told me about his plan. Now hold it. He never saw that high school built. He never saw that college built. But the old man died without ever spending one day being an old man. Because he had a tomorrow. He looked forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow, I can start again and correct the mistakes of today. Tomorrow, I can have another today, except much more abundant. Tomorrow, I can take what I've learned today and build another today better than today. And tomorrow, I can look back to today and relive it as yesterday and rejoice in it. Hey, listen. Do you know that's why Jesus is called the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did you know that? Yesterday, today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because Jesus delighted to do God's will, which means that yesterday is a sweet memory. And because he is going to do God's will, that means tomorrow is a sweet prophecy. But because he's doing God's will, that means today is a sweet present reality. I love yesterday because I love to recall the marvelous things that God did yesterday. I love to go out to high school and the grade school, those college dormitories at Baptist City. Remember the night that the deacons got off a bus out there and saw a wilderness without a street, without a sewer line, without a water pipe, without a building, without a sidewalk. I love to remember when the deacons got off that bus and looked out there and decided that that was the place we ought to build our schools. Ah, what a memory. What a memory. I love to think about yesterday. We walked out there barefoot, I did, across that property at Howells Anderson College and claimed it for God. Ah, I love yesterday. Because yesterday, when yesterday was tomorrow, God was blessing. I love today. Because today is the yesterday to which I looked, and the tomorrow to which I looked yesterday, and the yesterday that I'll dream of to remember tomorrow. But I love tomorrow. And I want to serve notice on you, ladies and gentlemen. I mean it when I say this. You've never seen before in this church what God's going to do tomorrow. You don't have any idea the plans that God is burning in my soul for tomorrow. I'll tell you, I'm just itching to tell you a bunch of them. You'll give triple tithe on the first Sunday before Thanksgiving, I'll tell you a few of them. But I'm saying, I can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow. I love tomorrow. And as long as you have a tomorrow, you'll have the fountain of youth. But you say, preacher, let's be realistic. Some of us are going to die tomorrow. It won't be many tomorrows that some of us die. Now, as I said last Sunday morning, that won't be real bad. Hey, say, yeah, you're looking forward to tomorrow. What if you die tonight? Still got a pretty good tomorrow in view.
It's not going to be bad. Walk up and say, well, Billy Sunday, how you doing? Nice to see you, Billy. That's not going to be too bad. I don't think it's bad looking for... Suppose at the college tomorrow morning in chapel, I said, folks, got something. I got a surprise for you. Come here, Dwight. Dwight Moody. Huh? Dwight Moody? Yeah. If I don't get to see my plans for tomorrow on earth fulfilled, I'll be studying Romans at the feet of the Apostle Paul by sundown tomorrow night. Well, I'll preach a little bit to him too, of course, and explain a few verses to him. He doesn't quite understand. But look, you can't lose in Jesus. Somebody said this week, well, how you make death sound so good. One lady said, I want to go on. Now, I didn't mean to make it sound that good. But look, let me tell you what death is like, and I'll be finished. Hey, I fly now. Back yonder before there were fast airplanes, sometimes, quite often, I'd ride a Pullman. And I can recall getting on a train in Nashville, Tennessee at night and going to sleep, looking out of the station in Nashville, Tennessee. And I can recall the next thing I knew, I was in the Chicago terminal. That's what death is. That's all it is. You just get on a train, go to sleep in Hammond, and wake up in heaven. I think that's a pretty good exchange. No trains, no sut. It's not bad. It's not bad. Listen. You today live for God. Serve Him to the fullest. Don't squander your life in a dirty bar. Don't waste your life in a filthy tavern. Don't spend your life sticking a needle to your veins. Don't smoke the dirty pot. Right? God didn't make you for that kind of garbage. God made you for Himself. You live for Him today. And then tomorrow, not only will you have a wonderful today, but a precious, sweet memory of yesterday. Tomorrow. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant.